Texas, America's oldest park and pops in America, coming live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Council. Let me read to you a couple of things that we looked at just before the last commercial break. Dr. Paul Drummond Cameron was born November the 9th, 1939. He is an American psychologist and sex researcher. And reading through his biography, as I have pulled it up today on Wikipedia, and some of the things that are there, by the way, are designed to hurt Dr. Cameron. So you can read those with great advisability. But in terms of the factual things that are there, he is best known today for his controversial research on homosexuality. After a successful 1982 campaign against a gay rights proposal in Lincoln, Nebraska, he established the Institute for the Scientific Investigation of Sexuality, now known as the Family Research Institute, or FRI. As FRI's chairman, Dr. Cameron has written papers associating homosexuality with perpetration of child sexual abuse and reduced life expectancy. He has recently, by the way, endorsed Alan Stang's expose on the infiltration of the Republican Party by the radical gay movement, going back to Ronald Reagan's original gubernatorial administration in 1960s California. Alan Stang has been on this show twice, and his book, of course, is entitled Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer is Bush. Dr. Cameron, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine. It's a beautiful day here.
Well, that's great, and I tell you, you're an absolute legend in regard to the things that you do. I have followed your career from afar for some period of time, and of course, Alan Stang has been on this show twice, and after seeing that you had endorsed Alan's new book, I thought we need to get Dr. Cameron on here to discuss the things that he thinks are most important for the rest of us to know. So you simply tell me, sir, where you'd like to go with this, and we'll follow you.
All right, I appreciate that. I think there are three great issues on the table before us as Americans today. One of them is immigration. I don't want to mess with that particularly. The second one has to do with, I guess you would say, the emergence of the sexual revolution led the cutting edge being gay rights, and the death by lack of births, the demographic death of the West. And then, of course, the conflict that we're fighting, Christendom or the West with the Muslim onslaught. So to me, those are the three great issues. And the one that we're not paying attention to, by and large, that is sort of marginalized, even trivialized in our society, is this great question: what are we going to do about sexuality? Are we as a culture going to approach sexuality primarily as a clinician does? A patient comes to you, they say, I'm unhappy because blah, 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 sex isn't good for me, or I'd rather be divorced, or I'd rather blah, blah, blah. And you say, gee, this is a person who's coming to me. My function is fairly small to make this person happy. And what can I do to make them happy? Instead of, as a society, saying, whoa, what is good for society and what will enable continuance of society? And today, almost without exception, every new movement is very clinically oriented. The front page of the Denver Post today is a woman who's going to sue the state of Colorado. I don't know if she'll be successful, but she's going to sue. She's on the front page of the paper because her son was mentally ill and committed suicide, and she's claiming that the state didn't intervene to keep him from killing himself. And she wants.
We'll be back with Dr. Paul Cameron, right. Family Research Council. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention. This is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Council. Dr. Cameron, among many other things, is known for his research on homosexuality. And after a successful 1982 campaign against a gay rights proposal in Lincoln, Nebraska, he established the Institute for the Scientific Investigation of Sexuality, now known as the Family Research Institute. As their chairman, he has written papers associating homosexuality with perpetration of child sexual abuse and reduced life expectancy. Let me add an editorial remark here. When you search for Dr. Paul Cameron through Google or whatever search engine you use online, you will see the extent to which this very fine gentleman has been subjected to some things personally and professionally that one would well nigh expect of one who is doing things that I believe are rooted in truth, that are rooted in a sound biblical theistic worldview. And Dr. Cameron, much like Alan Stang, is one of the folks who's out there on the front lines of some things that the political and cultural and media establishment in this country do not want you to know about. And because he's doing that sort of thing, you will see the extent to which he has really been through the personal and professional ringer, doing the things that are bringing truth to all kinds of places, including the Republic Broadcasting Network. Take it away from there, Paul. Go ahead with where we were before the break.
Yes. Well, we have these three gigantic issues, and there are always plenty of others, but the one surrounding sex is very important in that, for instance, right now, Europe as a whole has embraced what I guess we'd call the sexual revolution. Europe has said, let us look at life through the eyes of the individual citizens that we have. Let's make them happy. And in Europe, with very rare exception, by law, if you decide, gee, I'm just not very happy. I think my problem is that I should have been born a girl. And since that's the case, I need to have hormones, I need to have an operation, I need to have society treat me as though I were a girl. I realize this will take time, maybe a year or two, and money, maybe $70,000 or $80,000. But I think my fellow citizens ought to pay for this because, well, shucks, that's what I want. That's what I think will make me feel good. And to those who say, well, gee, you're married, you have kids, I say, I've got to be me. And right now, I want to be me as a woman. And you say, gee, does that make sense? Should a whole society pay for and penalize for your operations and so forth and pass laws to put other people perhaps in the slammer because they won't pretend along with you that if you undergo this sex mutilation, you will, they will go to the slammer. They will be fined, and of course, society will pay for all of this. And your wife and your kids, well, they can just take care of themselves. Maybe they'll have to go get their own shrink or something. That's happening in Europe right now. I don't believe any state, by law, pays for this kind of an operation. But as you know, or you may be aware, a number of prisoners are bringing suit across the United States who think that they are unhappy because they were born the wrong sex. And at least one suit has been apparently, by a federal judge in the West, consigned to be settled, probably, though not certainly, in favor of the inmate. In other words, a malefactor is going to have his body mutilated at our expense, and everybody's going to have to mince around pretending that though he was convicted as a murderer, as a man, now he'll be a girl. That's just part of what's going on. In a larger perspective, we have people who say, I enjoy having sex with my sex. That's what really turns me on. That's what I like to do. From a social standpoint, you may say, gee, if you do this, we know the statistics. Those that get involved in this are far more apt to incorporate underage people into their sexual practices. They're far more apt to get AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. They're probably not going to live as long. They're probably going to be more frequently involved in criminality. They're going to be less productive citizens. After all, the ideal citizen, first of all, produces more than they consume. Secondly, obeys the law and the customs. And thirdly, gets married and has children. That way, they contribute more than they have to take in order to survive. And plus, they contribute to the future. They contribute children, which are any society's future. This chap says, I just want to engage in homosexuality. Here and there, I'll have sex with women too, but I just want to be an irresponsible person, basically. Don't call me that, but that's what I want to be. I want to be having fun. I enjoy doing things that other people think are pretty grungy and I'll admit they're very, very dangerous, and yeah, I see a lot of the guys I have sex with and so forth with all kinds of diseases and sores and cancers, but that's not the issue. The issue is my happiness, my sexual fulfillment, And I demand, and Hillary Clinton, if she gets elected president, has promised that I'll be able to get in the military, I'll be able to be a teacher anywhere, I'll be able to do anything I want, and other people who criticize me will go to jail. Great, or they'll be fined, just as they are in Canada. I want to be me, and I want society to recognize me, and I just want to have fun, sexually. That kind of an attitude, extending all the way from paying for our operations and all this other crazy stuff, to putting normal people in the slammer, fining normal people, normal productive people, if they won't put up with and will not say, oh yeah, you're just as good as my neighbor who has three kids, who's working at a job and so forth. I know you're running around from rest area to public restroom having sex and causing problems, but I'm going to forget about that because you say, I am gay, and that's my essence. This is what I've got to be. This is what I've got to do. And I'm just not going to be happy unless I can do those things.
Well, you know, Dr. Cameron, as you speak, a number of things come to my mind. I'm an evangelical Lutheran pastor, and like you, I know what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 about the subject of sexual perversion generally, and homosexuality and lesbianism specifically. And as I read through Romans chapter 1, I'm reminded of what the German Lutheran tradition has always said about Romans 1 and about this whole issue of sexuality. And that is, to quote the German word, der Amt, or order, that there is an order that God has instituted. We see it in his revealed word. We see it in natural law. And when that order is violated, we see that there are consequences. There are individual consequences, and there are societal consequences. And certainly, as you outline it for us today, that's clearly what's going on with this here. And it seems to me that the old biblical theistic model of God's revealed order and God's revealed word, God's natural order, that all of that has been put aside, and reverence for God has been put aside, as we see that in Romans chapter 1, and has been replaced by the very dynamic that you talk about, and that is narcissism, the idea that I'm suddenly important, my fulfillment is important, I can do anything I want to, my bodily urges, my desires, my choices are all that is paramount here. God doesn't matter. Society doesn't matter. My role in that society doesn't matter. It's all about me. Isn't that at rock bottom level what seems to be the underlying philosophical presupposition that then leads to all of these other terrible things?
I believe so. I would add slightly that we live in a society in which we have this new profession that has sprung up over the last 60, 70 years of psychiatry, psychology, clinical psychology. It's Freudian or not. It could be Rogerian. But we have a series of professionals dedicated to the advancement of the interests, almost like a lawyer versus society, of their individual clients. And, you know, people who go to a shrink are usually disturbed. We are in the peculiar position as a civilization, allowing the disturbed, obviously disturbed, to largely dictate the direction of our social policy. So I agree with you. God has been tossed out the window. All our traditions, what it brought us to the dance, the Christian view of how the world ought to be ordered, and realizing we are human beings. This is only an approximation. We only try to do this, generally speaking.
We'll be back with Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Council. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Paul, pick it up from there when we come back. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Council. Dr. Cameron has written a number of papers on homosexuality and associating it with all kinds of subsequent disasters like perpetration of child sexual abuse and reduced life expectancy. Dr. Cameron has recently endorsed Alan Stang's expose on the infiltration of the Republican Party by the radical gay movement, going back to the original Reagan administration in 1960s California. Stang's new book, by the way, he's been on the show twice now, is entitled Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer is Bush? That book, by the way, is must reading. Paul, take it away with where we were before the break. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, let me correct. You keep putting me with a Family Research Council. As you noted from Wikipedia, it's Family Research Institute.
Ah, okay.
Sorry about that.
Very good. Hey, no problem. Well, that helps to clarify it. It's the Family Research Institute, FRI.
Right.
And through the show, by the way, if you would like to give people information on contact information for FRI, sir, feel free to do that throughout the show.
Sure. Yeah, we're at, I'll give the phone number now, 303-681-3113. And, of course, they can go to the Internet, and you can find out how to just punch my name in Google, and you'll get us as well as all kinds of critiques and criticisms, as you've noticed.
What is the URL for the Family Research Institute?
FamilyResearchInst.org.
Family Research Institute. Okay. INST.org,
right.
Okay, very good.
So you can get us there, and you can see a lot of what we've done.
Yes.
Our approach is a bit different. We are active, to my knowledge, we're the only group active scientifically on the conservative side of the aisle regarding homosexuality. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't theologians out there. That doesn't mean there aren't politicians out there with whom we would agree and who would agree with us. They often use our material. However, as a scientist, that is an empiricist, we actually collect data through surveys, through reviews of like government surveys and so forth. And we publish, I think, as fair as is possible, but also pointing out the problems associated with those who engage in homosexuality, whereas almost all published material from the other side, and by the other side I mean almost the whole of academia, as well as the homosexually inclined scholars themselves, if they report anything negative, they will couch it in terms of the discrimination of society causes homosexuals to more frequently use illegal drugs. The discrimination of society and the rejection of society seems to be associated with homosexuals being much more frequently classified as mentally ill, commit suicide, engage in murder, etc. So these are the kinds of things that the way people think in our society, probably all societies, is the way you look at it trumps the facts. And it's very difficult intellectually to say what are the facts and forget about what theory these facts fit into. First, what are the facts? And then, what kind of a theory can we devise? Usually, and overwhelmingly today in academia and in the intellectual world in general, those who fancy homosexuality have pretty well gotten people to accept that they are the reason poor homosexuals get AIDS, that they are the reason that poor homosexuals are much more frequently in the slammer, much more frequently in mental institutions, much more frequently need counseling and the like. We try not to do that, and in fact, we try to point out that a different model makes more sense. And it's a model that is much more in accord with what Paul was talking about, what Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy 32. And that is, this is a different kind of worldview. It's what Moses called the way of death, and it is in our time, right now, the acceptance of homosexuality, the idea that sex is your personal self-expression, that you personally ought to be able to find pleasure in everything you do, and realizing, after all, we all look for pleasure. We all fall short of doing what's best for everybody else.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Paul Cameron joins us today from the Family Research Institute. His work on homosexuality has been debated worldwide. If you search for him on Google, you will see the extent to which he has stirred up a hornet's nest in regard to the things that he has written over a very, very long career that continue to resonate with people around the country who debate the merits of his arguments one way or the other, and who wrestle with the whole question of Western civilization. Is it based in a biblical model? Is it based in a Freudian model? Do we have competing worldviews going on here that are going to dictate the way in which we view the research that Dr. Cameron has presented? I suspect that that's probably true. Paul, there's one thing that you said at the beginning of the show that I find fascinating. You talked about the way in which this sexualization of our society presents one major challenge to us. You mentioned the Islamic issue and the Islamic threat to American society as you perceive that. You also talked about the illegal immigration thing as another component in this. What do you make of the fact that in terms of the homosexual movement, the homosexual rights movement, that provably when one starts delving into this in terms of research, there are a disproportionate number of Jewish individuals and Jewish organizations who have been involved directly or indirectly in the promotion of the so-called homosexual rights movement. What do we make of this?
I'm not really sure. It's obviously the case. Freud was a Jewish. Hirschfeld, the German, I guess you'd say, scientist, homosexual, cross-dresser, just before and during Hitler's reign. He had a great deal to do with sexology. An awful lot of sexologists have been Jews, and with rare exception, they have been very liberal. By liberal, I mean self-centered, client-centered, that people ought to be able to express themselves sexually as they wished. Now, why this is, given that Judaism is a natural component of Christianity, after all, we do have the Old Testament, we don't reject that in the whole, only in certain parts, as Christianity has changed that, it's surprising. I don't know why. But it's clear that there is this disproportionality, and even today, some of the most vigorous folk trumpeting the homosexual cause are themselves Jewish.
Yes, and I was looking at a list yesterday, which I read on the air, of the number of mainstream, so-called mainstream Jewish organizations that directly or indirectly have been in support of this, and it's a very, very interesting lineup when you see the rather star-studded character of the organizations in question and some of the individuals involved. It is a striking phenomenon, and again, I think it also gets at the heart of your own personal autobiography here. You have been through, quite clearly, for anyone who starts researching you, you have been through the ringer politically and personally and professionally in regard to the truths that you have stood on. Why don't you share a little bit of that with us as far as what this has done to you in terms of your professional identity as a psychologist and researcher with some of the so-called mainstream organizations that have tried to discredit you?
Well, I'll go into it. Realize everybody has their own view of what, how the world works and what's happened to them. I was the first scientist way back in the 60s to document the negative effects, the health effects of secondhand tobacco smoke. That kind of put me on the scientific table, I guess you would say. And I was cited rather approvingly by Dr. Deal, one of the most well-known anti-cigarette smoking scientists, by various government bodies and so forth. And in a way, you live in my world, because I have been, almost from the outset, not just a researcher, but a, what do we do with this research? What are the implications of this research? And most of what has happened to smokers are things that I recommended, not just me, but I probably had a great deal to do with creating the world in which smoking is quarantined. Secondly, in the early 80s, I was very active with the AIDS issue, since it was primarily a homosexual issue. And I fought through 1983, 84, and 85 to finally get the government not to say we will take blood from committed, partnered homosexuals, but rather to quarantine their blood, to keep their blood away from the bloodstream, the blood banks. I'm the one that chose that year when you go to the blood bank and it says, are you a male? Have you had sex with a male since 1977? That 1977 is my figure. That's one of the few things I have actually been able to say. That's mine. Well, needless to say, I incurred a great deal of wrath from those who engage in homosexuality, who are, by the way, scattered throughout society. Just a couple of years ago, one of the Supreme Court members of the Australian Supreme Court was found to not only be engaging in homosexuality, but seducing little boys as part of his deal. That being the case, and that those in my profession, I'm a psychologist, are disproportionately engage in homosexuality, probably at least 7, 8, 10% of psychiatrists and psychologists engage in homosexuality, according to the polls that have been done. So I was on shaky ground at being in a profession with such a heavy homosexual influence. And by the late 70s, largely unbeknownst to me, an organization I belonged to, the American Psychological Association at that time, had become gay-friendly and taken the position that no licensed psychologist, no member of their association should be anything but in favor of gay rights, so to speak. Well, I wasn't. I campaigned along with the people of Lincoln, Nebraska, where I started this particular activity to bar gay rights from the city charter. Bob Kerry, who eventually became governor and a senator from Nebraska, proposed gay rights or foisted or attempted to foist gay rights upon Lincoln, Nebraska. He was in favor, and others were in favor. Generally speaking, academics, even at that time, this is 1981, were in favor of giving people who engage in homosexuality super rights, rights that trump, that exceed the average citizen. That is, you don't have a right to a job, but they do. You don't have a right to get an apartment, they do, etc. Well, this eventuated in my realizing that I was going to be in conflict with the association that I belonged to, the American Psychological Association. We exchanged a few letters. I resigned November the 7th, 1982. They fired me the next year. As near as I could tell, in any sense of knowledge, no charges were pending against me when I resigned, and the president of the association appeared to accept my resignation. However, depending on how you want to look at it, and if you look at Wikipedia, which, by the way, cannot be changed, if you try to change it, what happens is the homosexuals who monitor Wikipedia, it's an open encyclopedia, as you know, will change it right back.
And boy, it's a real hit job that they've done on you, Paul.
Oh,
I mean, it was very apparent to me when I went through this as one who knows who you are, one who knows your professional credentials and has had 1,000 references on you. When I read through this thing, I thought, boy, as the American Psychological Association and their assorted fellow travelers gone the extra mile in trying to defame you personally.
Yes, but realize that they will never come and say what it is they disagree with. For instance, in the professional literature, in the peer-reviewed literature, once in 1986, another time in 1996, we pointed out where the American cycle in 97, three times, excuse me, we have pointed out, and you can go to any library, any research library, and see this, where the American Psychological Association misrepresented material to either the U.S. or Supreme Court or other appellate courts. And a number, twice at least, the American Psychological Association got with the editor of these journals and said, don't publish this. And both times the editor said, all right, I'll give you a couple of months, get a rebuttal. They have never produced a rebuttal. The truth is the American Psychological Association has misrepresented, or what most people would say, lied to various courts across the United States. regarding homosexuality. And by the way, as near as I can tell, also in regard to abortion and a number of other social issues. But I know for sure and have documented on homosexuality. At no time has the American Psychological Association agreed to, for instance, come on air and debate me. I'm sure you, for instance, would sponsor such a debate, would you not?
I would certainly do so, and I think we can be well nigh assured that I'm never going to be approached by these people to sponsor it, however. But yeah, if they asked me, I'd certainly do it, sure.
Sure. In other words, you'd host it, and that's what science in theory is about, is a very, very slow debate. You gather your information. It took us probably a good year to produce each of the three articles. And then they get published, and it takes a year or two before they finally get published. They get to the library. People may or may not read it, et cetera. They've been sitting there since way back in 1986, 96, and 97, and they still haven't responded. Anyway, also the American Sociological Association jumped on me. I've never been a member, don't care about them. There are a number of other like associations. Pretty much the associations have stuck together. Pretty much the professional associations, if a very vigorous group and those who engage in homosexuality are almost invariably very vigorous, comes to them and says, "We don't like this fellow. We want him condemned." They'll go along. And they have. That's just the way it is. I've had to live with that. It has not been good for my career, financially, whatever. Journal after journal now will not publish my material, not because it's not true, but because they are afraid of, for instance, in one journal, was very explicit with me, only by verbally, they said, "Gee, we're going to be kicked out of libraries across the world by homosexuals, homosexual librarians and the like, who won't stand up for the grief that they'll get." And, of course, right now in academia, I don't think, with rare exception, any academic can retain his position if he is outspokenly against gay rights. I invite someone to call in and falsify this, but to my knowledge, except for a few small Christian schools here and there, that is the case. And by the way, most of the mainline Christian schools are right in step. They, too, are either quietly pro-gay, sometimes extravagantly pro-gay.
Well, a classic example of this, when I was at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California, back in school year 1979-80, I was a part of what was known as Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. I left there after 1 year to go to an evangelical seminary in Chicago. But in the time that I was at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, the then president of that school, who now in retirement is the chancellor of that institution, was promoting the so-called Lutherans Concerned organization, which is a pro-gay rights organization in the Lutheran Church, that's based out there on the West Coast. And all these years later now, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, which is the largest division in American Lutheranism, is openly debating whether or not open practicing homosexuals ought to be formally included on the clergy roster of that synod. So this is how far this has gone.
Yes. And notice, going back to where we sort of began, if you look at the Christian view of how the world works, I think if you'll look at the end of Timothy's and Titus, Paul there outlines how we're supposed to function as Christians. Remember what his advice is to widows. He doesn't say to widows, "Now, I want you to become celibate and devote your life to the church." Oh, no. In fact, he says, "Go out, get married, have children, serve your husband and your children, and then if you get widowed again by the time you're 60, come to the church and see. Maybe we can help you." We are, as Christians, to be productive. That is, fully productive. Not just to work, but we're also to have children. We're to raise those children the best we can in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And anybody who is a parent knows you take your chances. Some of your children are going to turn out well, but there is no guarantee. You might have three kids and three rotters. You might have three kids and three great kids, or five kids, or whatever the number might be. Our children are like we are. And part of the reason that we are, I think, commanded to have children is to get a God's eye view of how difficult it is, even when you know they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that. Even though you tell them, even though you show them, even though you love them, they will often do what they bloody well feel like. And
we'll be back.
This is
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute will be with us for one more hour. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com, or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute. Dr. Cameron, I wanted to warn him as well as our listeners that now tends to be a time when we do our commercial appeal. So probably for the next 3 to 5 minutes or so, we're going to be frequently interrupted. And then at the top of the hour, we will be back to a more continuous conversation with Dr. Cameron again. This is my opportunity to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can do by contacting us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can find us on the web, of course, at www.republicbroadcasting.org. John Stadtmiller has put together a good team of hosts, a good team of shows, and we need your help, and we need it now. And we need it on an ongoing basis if we're going to continue the fight to bring the real truth to you on a day-to-day basis. This involves my show, of course. It involves what Mark Glenn does for RBN and Michael Collins Piper. It involves Hesham Talawi and all of the other fine folks that are here day after day, night after night, week after week. My good friend Frank Whalen is somebody else who comes into the mix as I think of this. It's people like Frank that have brought me into the truth movement. It's people like Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn who have encouraged me. They, in turn, all need your help. You can find us at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. This is also my opportunity to ask you to support the American Free Press. Christopher Petherick has put together a great team of correspondents that includes Michael Collins Piper, Mark Glenn, Mark Anderson, Willis Carto, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and all the other folks who day after day, week after week, continue to slave away to produce the best issues that AFP produces, again, on a weekly basis. They need your help. They need additional subscribers. They need your assistance in terms of gifts. They need you to support them in regard to buying their books. AFP has a very fine book division. You'll see Piper's books there and Mark Glenn's books there. You can also buy the books of Matthias Chang, my good friend in Malaysia, who has written two blockbuster sellers that have involved the whole business of the U.S. Anglo-Zionist Empire, what it means to you and to me in regard to who and what it is that actually controls our foreign policy. You're not going to find that in Time or Newsweek. You'll find it at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You'll find it at the American Free Press. And to contact those fine folks in Washington, D.C., you can call them at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. The final thing that I always mention in this segment is your support of Congressman Ron Paul in his run for the presidency of the United States. Dr. Paul needs us, and he needs us now. Those of you who wish to contribute to him can find him at RonPaul2008. Give him your ongoing support. We are not that far away from primaries, and based upon what Dr. Paul has already done, the true American populist worldview is coming to the fore once again. What he has to say from an American first perspective, a libertarian perspective, and a paleocon perspective is driving the liberal media nuts. It's driving the two major parties nuts. We need to empower him just as we help RBN and we help the American Free Press. We need to help Ron Paul and do it now. We'll be back with Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.